Good evening, friends, friends and friends, and welcome to the T-Force General Gaming Podcast, episode 181. I am not a professional, and I should not be hosting, but I am, and I am Punchinello, joined by Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hey, I'm also not a professional, but that's never stopped me before.
None of us are. That's the best thing about our podcast. We have no credibility. And it's just the two of us today.
Just the two of us.
Everyone else is gone, doing things. One person is sick. Or maybe they might all be sick. I know Folko wasn't feeling well. Jester wasn't feeling well. Nell is definitely sick.
Nell can't even talk. So, yeah. That's a good excuse.
So we're next. So I bought a Switch.
You finally got the Switch.
I finally bought a Switch. Yep.
You bought a Switch. Oh my gosh.
And then 30 minutes later, I returned it.
What?
Well, I didn't return it. I just canceled it because it was an online order.
Oh, God damn it.
Well,
if you never held it in your hands, you that doesn't count.
Well, I mean, there was a good deal on Amazon where if you bought a Switch, you got a $25 Amazon gift card.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, $25 off. That's a good enough deal to get a Switch. So I bought it, and then I got heavy buyer's remorse. Because it's not just the Switch you got to buy. You got to buy the controllers and games and an SD card and Nintendo Online, the console tax for playing games online. And I knew I had to buy all that stuff, but still, when I looked at the price tag at the end of it, and I factored in the fact that I have to pay to replace my roof, I couldn't justify the purchase. You know what? I don't think I'm going to play the Switch enough to get my money's worth out of it. But I am living under a house that needs a roof. So,
I mean, that's an understandable trade-off.
So I'll put the money to that. So for now, the Switch dream is dead. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Because I also have to spend money for the holiday season. I don't know when I'm getting a Switch. I can't lie to myself anymore and tell myself I'm going to get a Switch every week.
At least you're coming clean about it, and you can say.
There's still so many games I want to play on it, but I just can't. I can't bring myself to do it yet. I'll revisit this at a later point in time.
Mm-hmm. When you have a solid roof over your head.
Yeah, but then I've got to replace my patio door, and then I have to put in a patio. Because I've got a deck, and I hate my deck. I don't want the deck. I want to get rid of it. And I want to put in a patio. And then I can start saving up money after spending a bunch of it to fix up the house. Being an adult is awesome.
Woo! Yeah, right? It's like having to take so much house fun. And property. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, and having money and spending it and then not having money. It's great.
Yeah, a whole lot of those last two things of spending and not having money.
Yeah.
Kids, don't grow up.
What fun things have you been doing, Mary?
Me? I've actually been doing some things. I played some games.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
All right.
Okay, I've been playing some Picross.
Some what? Picross?
Picross. Specifically, I've been playing Hungry Cat Picross.
How is Hungry Cat Picross different from other Picrosses? Picrosses?
So I actually played this like a bunch of years ago when I used to live in New York and I commuted by subway. I had something to do on my subway ride, but I think it's just regular Picross like any other Picross.
It's just cat pictures? Hungry Cat pictures?
Well, it's not even that. It's just called Hungry Cat.
Oh.
It's kind of themed around like, I don't know, there's some kind of like bonuses system where like you have a cat with you and you can feed it fish and get bonuses, but I never even bother with it. I just do the Picross stuff. I just go through and do the pretty pictures.
You got out of my way, cat. Solving puzzles here.
It has a couple different cool modes where it just has like, you know, doing a single pictures, or it'll do like big grids of pictures and you solve like 9 or however many puzzles to get like the full reveal. Mm-hmm. Or they even do like frescoes now, and it's like a 4x8 grid. So you have to do like 30 something puzzles to reveal the whole picture.
Okay.
And they update every single Tuesday. And they've been doing that for like 4 or 5 years.
Well, that's fun.
So there's always new Picross.
Don't tell Nell about this Picross. I mean, if it really never ends, then he will never stop playing it.
It never ends.
He couldn't playing the other Picross until he 200%ed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, should it be possible?
Yeah. All right. So we won't tell Nell about this one.
Okay.
What I can tell Nell about.
Snaggle, mute this part of the podcast for Nell.
Only for Nell.
Only for Nell.
Everyone else can hear it.
Yes.
But then there was another game I picked up. Because yesterday was October 11th. It was National Coming Out Day in the U.S. Yeah. And Steam had an unannounced sale on all LGBTQ games. And
that's cool.
So I went browsing through, and unsurprisingly, like 90% of those games are like visual novels.
Okay.
Because, you know, being there so are, like, dialogue focused.
There are a ton of visual novels on Steam, just in general.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of games some I'd already had. But there was one really bizarre looking one called Diaries of a Spaceport Janitor that caught
my
eye.
That sounds amazing.
It is. And I don't have the Steam page pulled up, but the one thing I remember is that it claims it's an anti-adventure game.
Huh?
So basically the whole premise is that you're a janitor at a spaceport, and you go through the day collecting garbage off the ground, burning it, buying food so you don't starve, and then going to sleep and waking up the next day to do it all again.
Okay. This kind of sounds like a kind of like a Stardew Valley-esque game. You've got a job and you go do it and then you go to sleep.
See, but there is a fun little like twist to it is that there's like somehow you're trying to find a way to leave the spaceport, like to save up enough money or something.
Oh.
And there's a sewer underneath the spaceport. It used to be full of treasure and monsters and stuff, but it's been cleared out and no one cares about it anymore. But you go down there and you find something, and then you wake up the next day and there's a floating skull just following you around.
Ooh.
And apparently you're cursed. And then this starts you on a quest to find like some magical tablet that will uncurse you. And you have to go start buying gear and going down into the sewers to kill stuff.
Okay. Why is being cursed so bad?
I mean, it's a skull and it's really annoying.
Does it talk to you?
It'll just make random noises. It doesn't make any words.
Hmm.
It'll just like laugh and scream. And then whenever you pause the game, the skull will come up and take up like the entire viewport behind the pause menu. Like it's watching you.
Okay.
It's a very quirky game.
It sounds really good.
Yeah. And it looks really weird. It's all like pixel art, but it's also like a 3D, and it looks like an early, like a mid-late 90s 3D computer game. So okay. It has like that kind of weird feel to it of like low resolution and blocky 3D effects and a lot of annoying stark colors. It's very trippy. And there's a weird...
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, once you see pictures of it, it's weird. It's a weird game.
Diary of a Space... No. What was it? What?
Diaries.
Multiple diaries.
Janitor.
Here we go. Got it. Yeah, this is not what I was expecting. This looks 3D. I was expecting like a top-down or 2D or something like that.
No, it's like an over-the-shoulder 3D. It's and I think it was only like $5 when it was on sale. It cost like almost nothing.
Yeah, it's $5 now. Still on sale.
Still $5. Yeah. Oh, cool. The sale is going on through the 15th, so it'll probably be ending just as soon as anybody out there is hearing this.
I gotta keep my eye on this game. Foco owns this game. Of course he does.
I've noticed that now when I go through Steam, Foco owns everything.
He picks up everything that goes on sale that he's heard of. Like, well, I've heard of that game at one point in time. It's made by the devs that did Herpaderp. I better buy it now in case one day I need to play it. Or maybe not even that. Maybe one day somebody else might want to play it and they'll be at my house and then I can have them play it.
Mm-hmm.
That's his rationale.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that looks like fun. What else have you been playing?
Let me see now. Other video game stuff. My wife wanted me to say that she picked up Doraemon Story of Seasons on the Switch.
Okay.
Which Story of Seasons is like the series that like took over for Harvest Moon.
Okay.
Because like there was some kind of weird falling out between the creator of Harvest Moon and the company that was developing and publishing it. So they split. And so you get like, there's still Harvest Moon games, but then there's also Story of Seasons games. And so it looks like this is Story of Seasons, but with the Doraemon IP just slapped onto it, which is like a kid's anime series in Japan.
So is the original creator behind the Story of Seasons series then?
I believe so. I think that's how it is.
Okay.
So I think they couldn't take the name Harvest Moon anymore because they had to leave the publisher.
Right. Okay.
But so Story of Seasons, and my wife's been playing it, and she says it's really good Harvest Moon game, even though it's a little weird because it's Doraemon characters and it's not the usual kind of open-endedness of Harvest Moon. And it's kind of geared more towards kids, so there's no like romance and marriage system. Which is kind of one of like the key points of Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
But like other than that, it's really good and it looks beautiful. It's all like watercolored and there's like a weird effect around the edge of the screen that makes it look like it's all fading to like a parchment or a canvas.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
I gotta look this up. Is it kind of like Okami in a way, artistically?
A bit, yeah. It's very, I don't know how to describe it other than, you know, it looks like it's all kind of watercolor. Or like, almost like Yoshi's Island, like that kind of storybook look to it.
Oops. There we go. I can spell Doraemon. I gotta Google everything you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. That is pretty.
Right? And so apparently all the mechanics are really solid, too. So it's a fun game. It's just a little janky because of the Doraemon stuff.
All the stuff that's based off the anime.
Mm-hmm. But related to this, also, the one of the actual Harvest Moon games, Friends of Mineral Town, is getting a remake that's coming out in Japan like next week. And it's considered one of the best Harvest Moon games.
Oh.
And they say that it's going to come to the rest of the world, but they don't have an official date yet. And it was one of the ones that actually had, in the original release in Japan, it had what was called a best friend system, which was same-sex marriage.
That's uncommon.
For whatever reason, when it came to North America and the world, they just completely took it out.
Huh? Okay.
Right? But this time, they say that it's going to stick for the international releases.
Cool.
So it looks really good.
Is that a remake on the Switch?
I know it's definitely on the Switch, and it may be on other stuff. But yeah, it's the remake. And the other awesome thing is they're adding penguins and capybaras as animals you can have on your farm.
What do the
game that has capybaras is awesome.
What do they do on your farm?
Yeah, I don't know.
What goods do the capybaras provide?
I have no idea what you could actually do with capybaras on a farm other than just have them.
The only game I've played with capybaras in it was Cappy Hockey. There's that lightweight hockey game where you could play as animals. No, talked about it forever ago.
I don't know. Capybaras are an adorable animal. Like,
they sure
having them around is value enough.
Cool.
And that's it for me on the gaming front. I watched a couple movies.
Ah. Oh-ho.
It is October.
Yep, it sure is.
So I rewatched one of my favorite zombie movies, which is Return of the Living Dead.
You've told me about this, and it looks amazing, and I've started it. I've watched the first 20 minutes.
Yes.
I'll keep plugging away at it.
One of my favorite like B-movie 80, so 80s. It's just lovely. It is a really good time.
It's pretty awesome so far.
And there's a great soundtrack to it and a lot of like stupid little lines that you'll find yourself repeating.
All right. Yeah. I only had time to watch. I only had 20 minutes one night and my Netflix was in use. So I'm like, I guess I'll watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get back to it soon. Not tomorrow. Maybe Monday. Sometime. I promise I'll finish it.
Yeah. And then the other movie I watched was because you talked about it is Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah.
And
that's an adventure.
That was an adventure.
So you enjoyed it?
I loved it. It was so good. It is a slow start. It has a lot of good cinematography and it looks gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And It's like one of those things where like it spends like the first half of the movie just like establishing the setting and what's going on and the characters.
The
and
frontier.
A lot of really good character interactions.
Oh, yeah. The dialogue was great.
Yeah.
The character building was great. Yeah, I thought you had an interesting comparison where it felt like a D&D campaign.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say is that it definitely it feels like that one time you do like a one-shot Western in your D&D group.
Yeah,
you start up what's going on in town, a couple characters get introduced, some seemingly random problem happens that the DM just had to throw in there to get things rolling. then you get your group together, you go out adventuring. All the characters in this movie feel like good little stereotype niches.
Oh yeah,
that are very reminiscent of a D&D party.
It was great.
It was just so much fun to watch, and then it gets super gruesome.
It sure does.
Oh my gosh, it does.
For a long time, it's fun, and these characters are great, and this movie's beautiful. It shifts.
Yeah, and it is really kind of realistic in the violence.
Mm-hmm.
And
they kind of hint at that right away at the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah, there's a couple things in the beginning, and then it lulls down, and you kind of forget.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I really loved was the sound. Is that one thing that happens is you usually don't get very realistic gunshot sounds, but in this movie, it is like deafening every time a gun goes off.
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't notice that, but you're right.
And it's so immersive. It was really good.
Every shot just echoes through the land.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell. You can imagine being on the frontier, and then if somebody shoots a gun, anybody that's relatively close to you is going to hear it. They could be a couple miles away, and they'd still hear it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thank you for watching that and recommending it.
I'm glad you liked it.
And then
recommend that to more
people. It is October, so I'm looking at more movies to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about this, but I think I'm going to have to watch The Descent again.
Again? Oh. That's definitely at the top.
Yeah.
Top of my list.
This gave me a couple of like memories of The Descent. The Descent is much more like a traditional horror movie. Not as in depth with the characters, but it's a good watch, especially for October.
I've put it in my horror spreadsheet, but I don't have a genre for it. Could you give it a genre? What type of horror movie it might be?
It's kind of a almost like a you know, not like slasher, but like being hunted by monsters.
Okay.
Survival horror, like survival. And it's very claustrophobic.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. It's on the list. When I finish Return of the Living Dead, it will be The Descent time.
Awesome.
Maybe I should have a night where I invite people over to watch movies. Maybe I should do that.
You should.
That'd be fun.
You guys are awesome. And well,
I watched a movie.
Yes, let's see what you did this week.
I watched Event Horizon, which is sci-fi horror. I went from Western horror to sci-fi horror.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
Is this your first time watching it?
Yes, it was. I haven't seen that one before.
Oh.
I enjoyed it. I'll start off with that. Mm-hmm. So it was a wild ride. A lot of fun. not scary per se, but just, you know, a fun horror movie. a lot of things I can't really explain. Things that happened, I don't know why. Lawrence Fishburne was in it, so that was fantastic. Yeah, so him being the captain kind of made the movie for me. I thought he was the best character. Oh, maybe him and Cooper. Cooper didn't have a huge role in the movie. It just kind of popped up now and again, but he was ridiculous. I don't know. I don't want to go into spoilers,
mm-hmm.
even though the movie is old. But that is a ride. Can't say I saw a lot of that movie coming.
Sam Neill, solid as always in horror.
You know, what other horror? I don't think I've seen him in a lot of movies. Like Jurassic Park, of course, is the first one that comes up for me. But I can't think of a lot of others for him.
There's another great movie called it's Mouth of Madness. I think it's At the Mouth of Madness.
Yeah, you're right. No, I did see that one.
Which is In the Mouth of Madness is what it's called. In.
Or
yes. It's actually John Carpenter.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that one's really good. What else is... There's a couple.
I'm pulling up the IMDb now.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at Sam Neill.
He's been in a ton. So I'm doing a lot of scrolling.
He's been in 133 acting credits.
Most of these I haven't heard of. But that's usually the case whenever I look up somebody's works. Yeah, I don't know. He's good, though. He's good. He played a role that I didn't expect. That was basically the theme for the movie. Like, where is this going? And of course, there was a lot of bad sci-fi science that you just have to laugh at. That doesn't make sense. But it was
so there's a running theory
mm-hmm.
around Event Horizon that it's an unofficial Warhammer 40K movie.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah,
I
it's supposed
did
to
get
be
a...
about like the discovery of the warp
and chaos, right?
Yeah.
I think that was mentioned at some point in the movie. They mentioned chaos or they mentioned the warp, and I actually did think about that briefly. Like, well, this sounds a little 40K-ish.
Yeah.
Some sort of
go back and watch that again.
Very, very early on 40K. Probably at least 40K inspired.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, that was great. I did play a game. I played Hades again. Old game, sorry. But Hades got an update.
I saw there was an update? Yeah,
yes.
What happened?
So they reworked the difficulty currency, which is called the Pact of Punishment. So mm-hmm. as you're playing through the game, you get this refundable currency. You can put points in to make the game harder or take points out to make the game easier. And when you get to once you beat the game at the base difficulty, that's when you start putting these points in, because you gain some rewards for beating the game with a certain amount of points spent.
Okay.
But it wasn't a really fun system. First of all, because you're playing the game on the base difficulty for so long, just trying to beat it, building up your buff currency and unlocking weapons and just getting better at the game overall, you build up a lot of this difficulty currency just naturally over time. So when you finally do end up beating the game, you don't really have this gradual increase in difficulty. You just kind of dump all your points to get to the first tier reward, which I think was 30 points previously or whatever. I mean, you could put in a little bit of points over time to just gradually build yourself up, but each point you spend is like such a small buff that you just end up spending the 30 points and like, all right, the game is harder now. Let's go play it. And the way it makes the game harder isn't all that interesting. Like, enemies do more damage. Okay, that makes sense. You don't want to get hit. Enemies have more health. Okay, that makes sense. You're in combat. You're going to be in combat for longer. There's something that prevents enemies from taking damage for a single hit, depending on how many points you put into it. So if you put in 5 points, then you have to hit them 5 times before they take any damage, which just kills some weapons. Because you can see when enemies are spawning, and you set up a lot of your attacks for those spawning enemies. And if they just negate your big attack that you've been setting up, it really hampers the weapon. So I don't know. It was a bunch of different ways to make the game harder, but none of them were very interesting. So they reworked all of that. So the currency is gone. And instead, once you start a new run, it pulls up the Pact of Punishment. And you have this, again, you have a list of ways to make the game harder that you can put points into as you choose. And they kept some of the old ways to make the game harder, and they added some new ways to make the game harder. And it's a little more interesting. And you don't have to spend as many points. You spend less points to get tier rewards, but each point has more impact. So I think before it was 1 point to make the enemies do 5% more damage. Now it's 1 point to make them do 25 damage. But they tie this difficulty system, this reward system, to the weapons. And every time you beat the game with a certain amount of difficulty allocated to that weapon, you unlock rewards, which is basically more currencies. So
okay.
So let me walk through an example. So the first time I played, I picked the spear, and when I started the game with the spear, it brought up the difficulty options, and I put in 1 point. I allocated 1 point to make the first boss more difficult, and that allowed me access to gaining rewards if I beat the game, or as I'm beating bosses through the game. And so I full cleared each of the four bosses, and I got a reward for each. And those rewards unlock different abilities for the weapon. So now when I went back to base after the run was over, I can then spend points to make the spear better or change how it works a little bit. So okay. Each weapon has three different forms now where you can unlock different forms to change the weapon slightly. So for the spear, one of the unlockable forms is when you throw the spear as part of your normal special attack, you can now teleport to the spear instead of bringing the spear back to you. And when you do that, you give yourself a buff, an attack buff. So now I can, instead of using the base form spear where I throw the spear and bring it back to me or to stab people, I can now use this new form. I throw the spear, teleport to it, and I got a buff on my attack. And then you can keep spending currency to buff each form. So you can buff the base form to, it depends on the weapon. I think for the spear, the base form, you can throw the spear farther and faster. And then for the new unlocked form, I think you increase the amount of damage you get, the damage buff you get. So this basically looks like the end game where you have another way to make yourself stronger, and you can continuously buff the weapon and the form of the weapon of your choosing. Now, the good news is this currency that you get to unlock different weapon forms with and buff weapons with, it's not tied to the weapon that you beat the game with. So I don't have to buff the spear. I could buff another weapon, which is what I ended up doing. I unlocked a different form for the shield, which let me throw out the shield. And then it became a spinning disc that moved slowly, but damaged enemies on top of it rapidly. I'm like, well, that sounds nifty. I'll give that a shot. So I did that, and it actually wasn't that good. But you know, maybe with some investment, maybe if I add more currency to it and increase the damage, or if I had a different build that increases the damage of that throw, maybe it'd be better. I don't know. It was my own first time trying it. So that was the biggest change of the update. And they also nerfed the end boss so that he's possible now, because he was pretty difficult before. I think in the last update, that was the first time they put him in. So whenever they put a new boss in, they usually make them harder just so that you have something to bang your head against. It's, hey, this is new content. I don't want you to beat the new content the first time you play it. So, you know, this will make them really hard, and that will keep you busy for a while. So they did that with the third boss, is just when I started playing. And they were really hard, and I eventually beat them. But then the fourth boss, allegedly the final boss, was really hard, and I'd never beat him. Even on base difficulty, I would cruise through the entire game. I'd get to him, and he's just a brick wall. Couldn't beat him. Mm-hmm. But now, in the three runs, I beat him twice of the three runs. So,
nice.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool. This is
possible now.
Hades always looked super cool, but I've never really, you know, taken a huge interest in it. But with the big update coming around, I might check it out now.
It is very fun. I'm still playing it. I think, I don't know, it's supposed to come out in 2020. I don't know what else they're going to add to it now, because I think the entire playthrough is there. Mm-hmm. They've got to touch up the gifting system a bit, because you can gift, you've got a gifting currency to give to NPCs, and they give you stuff, but they only give you one thing. They give you a trinket the first time you gift them something, and after that, no matter how many times you gift them anything, you don't really get anything other than lore in your journal. So I think they're gonna finish that system in the next update, and then after that, I don't know. So it's getting pretty close to being done. So,
all right, cool.
I'd recommend trying it, giving it a shot.
Yeah.
And the other game I'm still playing is Control, which Control. I'm pretty close to the end, I think. It sounds like I'm near one of the final missions, but I still haven't beaten it yet. Yeah, I'm working on it.
I still haven't started it. It's sitting there installed. I still haven't booted it up yet.
You could probably boot it up and beat it before I do. Because I can't, I can't play it this weekend. Maybe next weekend? I don't have anything planned for next weekend. Maybe I'll beat it then.
I've been crazy busy lately and will be busy for another couple weeks, so who knows?
Yeah. So because I'm getting close to the end of Control, that's why I was thinking it was time for Switch, so I could start playing the Switch games. But I think what I'll end up doing is probably pick up Borderlands 3 or Gears of War. Mm-hmm. Doom got delayed. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah.
That'll keep me busy until Iceborne.
Monster Hunter. Sure.
Yep. That's all I had. Did you have anything else? Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I also bought and downloaded Sayonara Wild Hearts after hearing Nell talk about it. Oh, but I haven't had a chance to play it.
It's on my wish list now. Maybe I'll play that after Control. Maybe. Wait a second. That is on, right? I didn't dream that, right? That is on Steam.
I think it's on Steam. I know it's on Apple Arcade.
Oh my god!
Focal kept saying that over and over. And I have it on my Switch.
Either
on PlayStation or on Steam or.
Okay, I'll search for it later. It's not in my wish list. Now I'm getting nervous.
Uh-oh.
Oh well. Maybe it's on Epic Game Store. I don't know. I'll look for it later.
It's around somewhere.
Yeah. So, I guess it's time for news then.
Yeah, it goes by pretty fast with only two people, huh?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I felt like we took a good amount of time. So,
news time?
How do you feel about news?
Pretty good.
What? Hmm?
Pretty good about news? You wanna go?
Yeah. Oh, go for it. News. Just keep going. Go, Mary, go. News.
Okay, we should have probably planned out some kind of lyrics for this, shouldn't we?
Yeah, that's my bad. I was busy all day. But the guitar sounded great.
All right.
Well, thank you, Mary. Thank you for
taking the news. So, what do we want to start talking about?
Well, Blizzard's been in the news.
Boy, have they.
Yeah.
All right, you want to pick one of the Blizzard stories and get started?
Well, how about, can you start with the Hong Kong ordeal?
All right, let's start at the start then.
Yeah.
So when was this? This was the beginning of the week, right? Like Tuesday, Monday?
I believe Tuesday. Yeah, that's when the news broke.
Yeah, so there was a Hearthstone tournament, which was in Taiwan, if I believe, for Hearthstone Grandmasters in Taipei, Taiwan. And the guy who won it, who is Blitzchung, his handle, during the interview after his victory, he spoke out to stand with the Hong Kong protesters and even put on a gas mask as a symbol of standing with the Hong Kong protesters. And Blizzard wasn't happy about it.
Nope.
And so what they did is they said, well, we're going to take away the money you just won, and we're going to ban you from playing Hearthstone. And those two casters who are on air with you were also getting kicked.
what the hell?
For being there.
Just for interviewing him. Yeah, fire them too.
So that started off a whole mess of things.
Yeah. It turns out people weren't happy about that, understandably.
It was a terrible move
by Blizzard. And it's absolutely catering to China and an oppressive government. Mm-hmm. That can force corporations to do their bidding because they represent so much profit for those corporations. Like Blizzard's getting into the mobile market to break into China to make lots and lots of money. And if they upset China by showing this interview for someone that's supporting Hong Kong, I'm sure, like, I wouldn't even be surprised if China demanded all of these things happen. Strip them of money, suspend him, or maybe even just get rid of him, ban him entirely. Like, lifetime ban of his up to them. And then, you know what? Fire the interviewers, too. That sounds like a very China thing to do. Like, everyone involved, just get rid of them.
Yeah, just disappear everyone.
And then Blizzard does it.
Yeah. Which caused a lot of backlash.
Mm-hmm.
With pretty much every gamer siding with the player and the casters and saying, like, hey, Blizzard, this ain't cool. and so people started, like, canceling all of their accounts with Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that Blizzard then turned off all of their authentication services so people couldn't log in and manage their accounts.
Yeah. There is some question as to whether it was an automatic failsafe, right? If you have a bunch of people deleting all of their accounts at once, or a lot of people trying to log into their accounts all at once,
mm-hmm.
I assume that puts a certain demand on the servers, and maybe it triggered some failsafe where it said, well, hold on a second. Why are so many accounts being deleted? Something's clearly going wrong. You know, maybe this is some sort of hack that some sort of, you know, a nefarious third party that's coming in deleting accounts. So I can imagine some sort of automatic thing triggering to stop authentication.
Yeah, but also at the same time.
Right. But at the same time, it also, I mean, we can't rule out the possibility that Blizzard sees all of this backlash and looks at all of their subreddits and people making posts, giving step-by-step guides on how to delete accounts. And then Blizzard saying, you know what, maybe we should disable maybe we should disable login for now.
Yeah. You know, let's take away access to their accounts, let them cool down a bit, you know, and then, you know, maybe in a week or two,
you know, right,
start giving us money again.
Well, Friday, I think it was late Friday, Blizzard announced that they were giving the prize money back to Blitzchung, and they were reducing his suspension to 6 months, which... I don't know why you have to have a suspension at all, but whatever. Whatever. They claim that their decision to suspend him had nothing to do with China, and that it was entirely based on Blitzchung breaking the rules of their professional scene etiquette, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, I mean,
that sounds like a lot of BS to me.
It is a lot of BS, because, like, I think it's one of the things where they say, like, officially on air, they won't allow any political or social outspeak dances to go on. And, I mean, that's a load of BS, because Blizzard is all too happy to do, like, the Pride events.
Mm-hmm.
And to get money from selling Pride merchandise. Then as soon as, you know, talking about human rights interferes with profit in China, they kick someone off the scene. So,
I mean,
yeah, very... There's, like, complete doublespeak here.
Absolutely. I mean, they directly contradict themselves when they put out this... Okay, I'm trying to see who gave this quote. Oh, it was the president of Blizzard Entertainment. This was Alan Brack, where he said, "Every voice matters. We strongly encourage everyone in the community to share their viewpoints and the many places available to express themselves. However, the official broadcast needs to be about the tournament and to be a place where all are welcome. In support of that, we want to keep the official channels focused on the game." You're just directly contradicting yourself there.
Mm-hmm.
"Now, we encourage all viewpoints, but, you know, not in this specific situation where we're overseas near China and we don't want to upset the Chinese government."
My favorite edit of that message, I think Jester found this and shared it, was "Every voice matters, blank, 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 blank. However..." Which
right, just cut out all of that and go right to the however.
But yeah, I'm happy that the dude got his prize money back, at least, like, at the very least.
Yeah. And then, was there any word on the interviewers, if they
that
got
their, I haven't heard of. I don't know if they got reinstated or what.
I didn't watch the interview, so I don't know what if they asked a question to prompt this, or if they spurred him on, or, like, just from reading about it, it doesn't make sense. But I guess if they had some sort of hand in,
yeah,
I don't know, continuously to ask questions about Hong Kong, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And then,
I don't know,
because I remember late, like, maybe like a day or two afterwards, I think there was a collegiate Hearthstone tournament, and, oh gosh, now I feel bad because I can't remember the two schools involved, but one of them actually had a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Said "Free Hong Kong," and they put it up on their camera. And as soon as that happened, they cut the stream.
Yep.
You know, and they went like only to the other players who were just sitting in front of the camera doing nothing.
Yep.
It was a very awkward moment, and obviously the same thing.
Yep. This is the bed you made, Blizzard. Have fun. So
there was a picture that came out of, you know, Blizzard has like this big kind of like monument thing of their core values of a company.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the employees actually took paper and covered over two of the core values. One of them was every voice matters. And I'm blanking on the second one. Shoot.
I think the employees walked out as well, didn't they?
That I don't know about. I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of the employees at Blizzard HQ there's definitely one of those things where there's the corporate Blizzard now and the actual employees who are like the people who actually work on the games and work customer support and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job for the employees at Blizzard.
Yeah. And I mean, kind of not too surprising because in the past couple of years, we've seen a lot of the founders and big forces behind Blizzard's culture leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Metzen left and Morheim's gone. So the people who founded the company.
Yep. So what's this thing about the Warcraft Guild? I read the headlines for this, but I didn't read the details.
So while all this was going on, there was a problem in World of Warcraft where there was a pretty large guild called Gay Boys, which was just a guild that had a lot of queer people in it. And it was, you know, a very open guild and pretty popular one. And apparently they got reported so many times that on one day when people logged in, it was changed to just gibberish characters.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Zeflorgets. Like, I don't think that's what our guild is called.
That's odd. Did somebody change the name of our guild?
And so there was a bit of a hubbub about it, and they tried to reach Blizzard's like GM team and figure out what the heck happened. And apparently it was so many people reported it that it got automatically flagged, reviewed by somebody, and it went through with having to redact their name just because people reported it.
People suck.
And so after a lot of back and forth, apparently today it got reinstated. They're allowed to have their guild name back.
Hooray.
But they were also told, like, officially by Blizzard that, hey, you can't stop people from reporting. And if something gets a lot of reports, the name might get redacted again.
They can't turn this off.
That's the end. It's like, okay, so they're relying on some kind of algorithm or automatic reporting system. And they'll occasionally undo stuff, but if people report it, they'll automatically change it, which is crappy.
I feel like there should be a way of putting an exception here.
Yeah, we kind of heard a similar thing like a couple years ago when we heard Riot was using an algorithm for addressing accounts that got reported a lot. And they said it always went to human review, but there seemed to be a lot of cases of people getting automatically banned and they couldn't determine why.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, it was not too difficult to just organize mass reporting of people to get them banned, even if there was no real cause. So, I mean, it was just another bad publicity thing for Blizzard.
Yeah, it was bad timing.
Yeah.
Also, Blizzard sucks.
Yeah, Blizzard's turning into a bad company. There's very few companies that are still good and pure. Most of them have like 5 employees.
Well, it's definitely the you die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain situation.
Mm-hmm.
Blizzard's lived too long. They got gobbled up by Activision, and now they're pretty much just all Activision.
Well, I was telling when Morheim stepped down as CEO of Blizzard, and there's no CEO of Blizzard anymore. No one replaced him.
Yep.
It's just Activision CEO.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You got a president, reports to Activision. So that's fun. Well, let's talk about something slightly more fun. Did my audio just turn off again? What the hell?
I have no idea.
Stupid.
I mean, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm back. I don't.
I can hear you the whole time.
We won't tell Snaggle about that one. I don't know what's wrong with my headset. It's currently plugged in. It's a wireless headset, but it is plugged in. So I think the first time it ran out of batteries, I don't know why it turned off this time. Anyway, PlayStation 5. We know the PlayStation 5 exists. We've already known that. But now we know what it's named. And it's named the PlayStation 5.
Breaking the mold there, Sony.
It's also coming out holiday 2020. So late next year. Which also pretty much everyone saw come in. So still no surprises. Yeah. But they did talk about some new controller features a little bit, which are nice. There's two new features they added. One is something they're calling haptic feedback. Actually, I think this is a general term. I don't think this is their term. I've heard of haptic feedback before. But it's basically a broader range or enhanced version of the controller rumble feature. So it's not just all rumble all the time. It's different.
It's basically
different
just
feeling.
Kind of like more realistic feedback.
Yeah. Yes. And they also talked about controller. They also talked about giving a sense of textures. They used the example of grass versus mud in, let's say, a sports game. I don't know if that means you'll feel grass on the controller. It seems odd. We'll see. We'll see about that.
They're trying to like differentiate like how a controller would vibrate. If mud would maybe be smoother and grass would maybe be harsher?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe moving through each of those.
Maybe this will be a really weird experience in 2020 where we get to feel mud and grass.
Yes. You get to feel things. You get to feel the weight of how did I forget his name? Kratos.
Kratos?
Feel the weight of his axe as he cuts off somebody's head. Yes, Kratos. I had a brain fart and forgot his name. Forgive me. Mm-hmm. Never mind. I'm just going to stop talking. So the other feature for the controllers is something called adaptive triggers, where the game developers can actually program the resistance of the controller's triggers. So if you're doing a harder task, it might be harder to press the button down. So a simple little change there. Well, I'm pretty sure that wasn't simple to implement, but a small change there that could have a enjoyable... I don't know. It might be cool.
That's interesting. No, I'd love to see someone like lock some of those triggers to make it feel more like an old school controller.
Perhaps.
That's an interesting feature. There's going to be somebody who figures out something really cool to do with that. I don't know what it is yet.
I like the idea of as the person owning the controller being able to change that setting for my controller. Where I can I change how far down I have to press the trigger or the resistance of the trigger for ergonomic reasons. I like having that option. So I don't know if I love putting that in the hands of the devs. I mean, sure, it would be fun overall. But again, from like, if I'm using triggers too much during a game, my tendonitis starts flaring up. So for people like me, I would like an option to turn that off or to be able to set it myself.
I can see that definitely, especially if you were playing like a shooter and they make the different guns harder to pull the trigger on.
Yeah, if I've got to actually put force down, I'm not going to be able to play that game for very long. Mm-hmm. Like the next day, my wrist will be in pain.
Yeah, accessibility is always something to keep in mind. Developers, something they should keep in mind.
Yeah.
But did you ever play Eternal Darkness?
I did.
On the GameCube?
I sure did.
I could see somebody doing something like that with this new controller where all of a sudden like locks up a trigger and you can't press that button anymore.
Oh, wow. That would be great.
Right?
That is a fantastic idea. I can't.
Sony, hire me.
Man, I loved the insanity meter in that game. Every game needs a sanity meter.
Yeah, that game health, was just mana, so insanity. Good. Everything about that game. Awesome, and how it just messed with the player.
Yep. Has there been a game like that? Well, I guess Metal Gear Solid, kind of. The first one.
Yeah,
there's that boss fight.
The Psycho Mantis boss fight, where you had to move your controller. If you left your controller plugged in regular, he would know all of your inputs and be able to like perfectly counter you. But if you unplugged your controller and then put it into the second player slot, then he couldn't read your mind anymore, and you could actually defeat the boss.
That was cool.
Very cool.
We need more random crazy crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
More sanity meters.
Definitely.
All right, more news. Redemption 2. That game is still around. And it's finally coming to PC.
I will finally play it.
I'm definitely tempted to play it again since I lost the PlayStation, so I don't have access to it anymore. But I did like that game. And maybe that would be my time. Wait, you know what? No. You know what? The timing's not going to work. So it comes out November 5th for Epic Game Store and the Rockstar launcher. But if you're hellbent on using Steam, you have to wait till December. You can pre-order on the Rockstar launcher to get two free titles of some of their older games, like Bully and some of the older Grand Theft Auto games, along with other stuff like in-game things for pre-order bonuses, whatever. They say that the PC version will have graphical and technical enhancements, although I haven't seen any word on RTX. It will have HDR and 4K support. There will be new missions, new weapons, new horses, and it takes 150 gigabytes on your hard drive.
That is an insane amount of hard drive space.
It sure is. I think Gears of War takes about the same. I know some of the newer Call of Duties also take 150 to 160 gigs.
Crazy.
So beef up those hard drives.
Yeah, get a new hard drive over Black Friday sales.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
More news?
More news. What else we got to talk about?
Monster Hunter.
Okay.
When Monster Hunter makes news, we got to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Although right I can't. So Iceborne's getting an update that I still can't play because I'm waiting for the PC version. But it is a Resident Evil 2 crossover. Because why not? Just in time for Halloween. So it looks like they've added a mission where you can play as Leon and Claire. Maybe those are costumes you can unlock. Who knows? Looks like there are zombie skins you can unlock, so you can make yourself a zombie. And they also added Mr. X as a handler skin.
Hmm.
The handler that cooks for you and cheers for you can be Mr. X. So the trailer for it is fantastic. If you haven't seen that crossover trailer, I'd recommend checking it out. Unless you don't care about Monster Hunter, then don't. More news. Doom.
Doom.
We talked
Doom
about
got,
Doom Eternal.
We
mentioned
played.
Doom Eternal earlier. Yeah. And it is delayed to March 20, 2020.
That's right, a pretty cool date to launch on.
It is. But it's also right around the date that all the other games next year are coming out. They mentioned that it will have an invasion mode where you can invade other players' games as a demon, which sounds a lot like Invasion in Dark Souls. Assuming this takes place during the single-player campaign, so people can just... This has to be something you can opt into. I can't imagine this being a setting by default, where you're just playing through the single-player game, and then somebody invades you. A player invades you like in Dark Souls. Yeah, it's got to be opt-in.
Yeah.
But it sounds pretty neat.
That'll make it a lot more fun to play through.
Sure.
Or interesting. Yeah.
They mentioned the Swish? The Swish and the Switch release date are both being delayed, but Doom 64 is going to be a pre-order bonus for all platforms. So I haven't played that, but it's, yeah, sure, cool.
Get that more out. Stuff, yeah, more game.
And that's coming out at the same release date. So it's unfortunately, you don't get it as soon as you pre-order, you still have to wait. But yeah, you'll get both. You'll get Doom Eternal and Doom 64 at the same time. And the last bit of news that I have is something Jax posted in the Discord earlier this week. New feature for Steam.
Really cool.
Yeah. It is going to be in beta launching the week of the 21st, and it allows local multiplayer games to work online. And how that works is the person that owns the game will invite people to play with them. Your friends don't need to own the game. And the person that owns the game, the host, will stream the game to your friends, and your PC will also handle your friends' incoming button commands. Steam claims that the game will be streamed at 1080p and at 60 FPS, and that sounds cool.
It sounds amazing. It's, I mean, obviously, like, the first thing I go to is, like, what about the latency?
Yep.
Between when your game, because if your game is doing all the computing, you have to then tell your friend's computer what to show visually, and then handle their button inputs to come all the way back to your computer, put their button inputs into the game, and then back to them to show them the next frame. Like, it seems like there could be quite a bit of latency issues, but they're claiming they have something to make it work really well.
So I'm not as worried about the latency issues if it's, I'm going to use the word offline here, even though you're online, but like an offline, you're playing a competitive or a cooperative game with a friend, right? Basically you versus an AI. That I wouldn't be as worried about. Obviously the latency would be an issue if it's so bad that it just becomes frustrating to play. But if you're not, if it's not a competitive game, like something like Rocket League or some sort of fighting game where the latency needs to be as low as possible, your inputs need to happen when you hit the button, otherwise it's a terrible experience, then
I mean, like, one of the games to give as an example is Towerfall, which has only ever been local, is going to use this system. And Towerfall is a very quick reaction game, you know, playing with and against friends. So I'm really curious to see how well this plays out.
Competitive games, local competitive games, the host is going to have a huge advantage. Host wins again. Just like in those old dedicated server days.
Oh, gosh,
When you swear you shot the host 30 times, but somehow he got the kill on you. Friggin' host.
Or then, you know, you just dial up your friend's house to kick him offline.
Oops. That was fun.
Oh, dial up.
Oh, hey, we had one last tidbit on Blizzard.
Oh?
Yeah, in your section. We didn't talk about May.
Oh my gosh, we didn't talk about May.
You want to talk about May?
Yeah, let's talk about May. As part of this whole Blizzard thing with Hong Kong and China, part of the big fan backlash is people have been taking May, who is a Chinese character in Overwatch, and turning her into propaganda posters in support of Hong Kong protesters. And this is like blown up all over Reddit and a bunch of artist sites and social media sites. And this is like the grassroots effort of, if we turn this game into a symbol of the Hong Kong protesters, we can get China to ban Overwatch and get Blizzard to screw themselves.
I saw the cinematic short for May. Somebody altered that to make it a pro Hong Kong video. It was the subtitles were in Chinese, so obviously I couldn't read it. But I believe her conversation with Winston turned into something about Hong Kong and how May needed to help the Hong Kong protesters. It looked awesome. I love this movie.
Yeah, if you go on like Reddit or Twitter, you can find a ton of stuff from artists. There's so much cool stuff. I really love how quickly artists pick up on an idea, and then all of a sudden there's just like thousands of new art of characters. And especially May, who is already in like, you know, Arctic gear, very easy to turn that into like gas masks and protest armor.
She needs a protest armor skin. Well,
Riot May, that's what we need.
Riot May. She's got her skin is pretty close to that firefighter skin, but
yeah.
Oh well, that's all the news. That's all the news that we have.
Yeah, it's all the new news.
I'm afraid to touch Fogel's news. It's always weird.
You know what? There's one I will talk about. Is the Fortnite players formed all the pro players in Fortnite formed a kind of union.
Oh, good.
They formed a player association. Do collective bargaining. I mean, you know what unions do.
Mm-hmm. Are they getting, do you know if they're getting paid a salary by Epic, kind of like how the Pro League of Legends players getting a salary by Riot?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I haven't been following like Fortnite like Pro scene. All
the, so they got 16 players, and it looks like it's a lot of the very top players, just to make sure that they, you know, people who have clout in Fortnite have a collective bargaining voice when they have to talk to Epic about stuff, which is cool.
All right.
Yeah, good for them.
Well, I think that does just that does that 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 does it. That just about does it, is what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. That's an episode.
When I can't talk anymore, that's the sign that the episode is over.
Oh no, we're losing. I'll be the only talker soon.
Right. Next week, solo cast with Mary.
No.
Or maybe you can convince Snaggle to come out of hibernation.
Mm-hmm.
But he's playing Final Fantasy right now.
Like half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Is he? He's playing. Yeah. That,
we're not going to get him out of Final Fantasy 14. No. He's stuck. Punk. He's lost to us.
So,
if you would like to write into us, you can do so at gg@trinityforcepodcast.com. Or you can contact us on Twitter at tforcegg or at Focal, at Nobium, at Sir Jestiful, at Punch and Jello, at Mary Mayhem, and at the Snagglewolf, who probably won't get back to you because he's playing Final Fantasy. Our Patreon is www.patreon.com/tforcenetwork, tforcenetwork.com, discord.trinityforcenetwork.com, reddit.com/r/tforcenetwork, and that's it. That's all we got. That's everywhere we are. I don't think the Facebook page exists anymore. That lasted for like 2 weeks. Snaggle put that together. So, we're done here.
All right.
GG, everyone.
GG. Oh, don't catch some crows.